Good evening. As you all know, for the visitors here, I am not the preacher. I am just one of the guys filling in until our preacher starts in January. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody that's participated so far. I hope I can follow in the footsteps that they have set. Art with the wonderful song selection, Jonathan with the powerful reading, and Cam with the wonderful prayer. A few months ago, I preached on complacency. And as I was struggling to figure out what to do for this week, I was going to preach on patience, and I went to my brother Steve's website, and I seen that he used my sermon down in Texas, and he wrote this part two to my sermon, so I figured I would borrow it from him. And I added a few of my own notes, but rest assured, about 90% of it does belong to him. So, with that being said, let's dive in. So, the solution to complacency can be found in Isaiah 32, starting in verse 9, going through verse 11. It says, "Rise up, you women who are at ease, and hear my voice. Give ear to my word, you complacent daughters. Within a few years and a few days, you will be troubled, O complacent daughters, for the vintage is ended, and the fruit gathering will not come. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you complacent daughters. Strip, undress, and put sackcloth on your waist." So we can see that we are told to rise up and hear in verse 9 of chapter 32. Let him hear, but take care of what you listen. We hear with our ears. We should fix or plant our minds on what is shown. This is helped by bringing a tablet or a notepad to jot down on. A fixated mind will listen carefully to what sounds familiar and will also take note of what is not familiar. It is good to note a passage or thought that presents a challenge to us. If you turn over to Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 23, going through 25, it states, "If anyone has ears, let him hear." And he was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your words of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he still shall be taken away from him." And we are told to look at what is coming down the road. We are told to look down the pike to see what's coming. This is a cure for the complacent. Be prepared for what is coming down the road. The end of all things is approaching us, where one day we will stand before the judgment throne of God, where we are judged by our works. That can be found in Revelation 12. The things that we have done will be measured and weighed by God, the All-Holy One, and our actions will be compared to what is written in the Holy Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 9 through 10. Every action, every word, you are okay with standing before God, knowing that you will have to give an account of what you have done. The focus will not be diverted to someone else, but this appointed will be directed at you as an individual. And last, we see the sense of trouble found in chapter 32 of Isaiah in verse 11. The sense of trouble is to be prepared. From the Old Testament, we see three things rising up to here to fix my mind on what is shown, to think about it, and then I must look at what's coming down the road so I'm not blindsided by some disaster. Why? Because the soul is at stake and we will give an account for what we have done. As Jonathan read in the reading, starting in verse 13, it starts out, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and the rest of your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The word gird means to bind up what is loose, as one would do with a belt. Gird up, to bind or fasten the loins of your mind, detangle your mind before you come to worship. We must remove what is unclean and tie down our mind. We can see that demonstrated in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. It is a way we can tie our minds down. When my mind is girded, I am ready to go. Turn to the scriptures, think about what you see and read, your mind is girded. The girded mind is actively engaging in scriptures while we study. It is reflective on the words we hear and sing. Then we are told to rest our hope. Hope is important. Let me suggest to you that the complacent mind is no longer working from hope. We do not preach much about hope, it seems, but hope is essential. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24 and 25. "For hope we have been saved, but hope is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." We preach a lot on faith, but not hope. And yet hope is also something that is said to save. This is a quality antidote against complacency and leads to perseverance. Hope brings with it an eager quality found in Galatians 5, verse 5. The complacent person has hope displaced. Unlike gird and to be sober, we need to rest our hope. It is in this imperative mood, which is defined as an expression, a command, to hear or perform certain actions by the order and order and authority of one commanding. This is the same mood that modifies repent and be baptized found in Acts 2:38. This mood is explained as a command, not an invitation. It is something that is required by the hearer and requires full obedience. Faith embraces what God has done, and hope anticipates what God will yet do. Hope is something that can not fully be resting on anything if we are comfortable with the here and now. If you are happy now, how can you hope for something better down the road? Hope bridges us from here to there. We are to work from faith towards hope. Faith and hope are two different sides of the same coin. When we talk about faith, when we talk about faith and hope, we are generally talking about the same thing. But faith is embracing something different, and hope is anticipating something different. Faith embraces what God has done, and hope anticipates what God will yet do. For example, because we believe in Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we hope for our resurrection. Our hope, therefore, living, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, hope is faith and in what has yet to come, and it is what stirs us up and moves us to press on to completion. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 states, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We can also see this in 1 John chapter 3 verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Notice that hope here is not resting on what or who Jesus is, or even that he has done or what he has done. Faith rests upon those things, but hope here is firmly resting upon the that is to be brought to you. It is the resting on the future, on what Jesus will do, and on the things which he shall bring. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 4, going through verse 9, we can see this demonstrated. It is an imperishable inheritance found in verse 4. It is an amazing place in heaven, also found in verse 4. It's called salvation in verse 5, and the salvation of your soul in verse 9. It makes sense that the soul, the enduring component of man, will also receive an enduring inheritance suitable for the soul. And I just lost my place. There is a gladness that will be given to us which cannot be fully conceived or retrieved now. Jesus will bring with him those who have fallen asleep, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And there is a new heaven and earth which is without sin, found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Think of it, a place with no lying, stealing, adultery, killing, evil speaking, wickedness, maliciousness. It's not just a place of no more death, but it's filled with the glory and the goodness of God. Hope is laid up in heaven, Paul said, and Peter states hope rests on what Jesus brings from heaven. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, Colossians 1:5. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul directly ties our appearing with Jesus in his glory to his appearance. If we appeared, then we must have appeared with him in glory. They are tied together. This passage complements what Peter wrote. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. And I am one ahead of myself. breastplate of faith and love, as the helmet of hope and salvation. So we see here that hope of salvation is iconic of a helmet. A helmet protects the head, and this accords with Peter's teachings in our text. The loins of the mind are girded and sober when hope is what girds the mind. So, the solution to complacency, going on with our reading, 1 Peter 1, starting down in 14, it says, "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as your ignorance, but as he who called you holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Hope produces holiness. John chapter 1 and First John chapter 3 and verse 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not appeared as yet what will be. We know when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So a mind fastened to the word with a belt of holiness in the promise of God will have a deliberate and planned effort in worship. We can never grow complacent when we thoroughly realize the nature of God. His holiness is absolute power. His utter contempt for sin being devoid of any darkness at all, and yet we shall stand before him. The reality of nature of God should cause us to deliberately train our mind and actively look into and follow his word. If we are just coasting on cruise control, then we will likely fall asleep. We must deliberately focus on where we are going by what we are learning from his word. The complacent person fails to see the nature of God. In Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12, "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, 'The Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil.'" Light your lamps, search your dark halls, so you do not become complacent. There is a place for the complacent, and it is not a place where I particularly would like to be. It is the devil's domain. The complacent person settles with what is comfortable to him. But God searches with lamps where men are willfully blind to their defects. Heaven's light shining upon. Complacent is not part of God's nature. He searches, and he will punish those who forget him. These folks thought he would not judge, but he must judge to be faithful to his holy nature. He cannot tolerate evil, sin, uncleanness, wickedness, malice, etc. So, if there are any of you who need to come forward or be baptized tonight, don't let the devil win. He wants you to sit there and be complacent. There's a lot that we can all work. I know for a fact I've got a lot of stuff I need to work on, especially after this lesson. I have stepped on my toes because I have become complacent in things where I need to be better. So please come forward as we stand and sing. Jesus the loving shepherd.